You know, there's some wonderful, touching stories in the Bible about fathers. And this one that we read just a piece of in Mark chapter 9, I think, is one of those beautiful stories. And I want to just lift one phrase out of that story this morning that is my title and the theme of my message, where the Father told Jesus, "I have brought unto thee my son." You know, God established three institutions. Of course, the oldest and the most important. Let me just say it again so everybody hears me. The oldest and the most important institution that God made is the home. It's the home. It's more important than the church. It's more important than the government. Okay? I don't want anybody to misunderstand where I stand on that. It's the most important thing. Your home is the most important institution that God made. After that, I believe it's the church. And after that, I believe it's the government. And I don't believe we can have a good government or a good church unless we have good homes. And I don't believe we can have good homes unless dads do what they're supposed to do, what God intended them to do in the homes. In Mark chapter 9, if you read the earlier part of the chapter, it's the story of the transfiguration, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain, and he was transfigured or changed before them. The Bible says he appeared in garments of white, his face shone. Moses and Elijah appeared to him and the disciples there, and God spoke from heaven. A wonderful time, and again, there's many, many sermons that are preached on the transfiguration. That's just what happened before the event that I'm going to talk about this morning. Jesus and his three disciples came down, and they saw a crowd gathered around the other nine disciples. And when they saw Jesus, the crowd came running to him, and Jesus asked, what are you talking to my disciples about? What are you questioning them about? And one man stood out, came away from the crowd, the father in this story, and he came running to Jesus. And he made this statement. Again, this is my text this morning. He said, "I have brought unto thee my son." I want to talk about this father this morning. Because in that statement, we see the heart that every father should have. "I have brought unto thee my son." And I'll use the son generically because it also applies to every daughter that you have. "I have brought unto thee my children" might be another way to say it. But I want to point out five things about this father that I think all fathers should have. If you've got them as a father, that's good. Work on them and do more of them. If there's one or two missing in your life, then figure out how to get them into your life, incorporate them into your life, and do them. Now, before I tell you those five things, I want to mention some things about this father that we don't know. We don't know it from the Bible whether he was rich or poor. But I want to tell you something. In eternity, that won't make any difference. In eternity, it won't make any difference, fathers, how much money you had or how much money you didn't have. It won't make any difference in eternity. We don't know if he was a success or a failure in business. But in eternity, that won't matter. And it doesn't matter this morning what kind of success or lack of success you are in your business. We don't know whether he was a Baptist or a Methodist or what he was. But I'll just tell you, in eternity, that won't make any difference. Won't make any difference. We don't know his name. So we don't know, he probably wasn't a famous guy. But in eternity, it won't matter how many people know your name. It won't matter how much money you got. It won't matter what kind of house you live in. It won't matter whether you're a success or not. What will matter in eternity is if you've done what this father did, bring his son to Jesus. That's what will matter. That's what will be important. Let me just mention five things about this dad that every dad ought to have in his life. Number one, he was observant of his child. He was observant of his child enough to know that his child had a problem. In Mark chapter 9, it says, "He hath a dumb spirit, and wherever that dumb spirit taketh him, he goes into convulsions, he gnashes his teeth, he faints, he falls into the fire, falls into the water. The spirit is trying to destroy him." In Matthew chapter 17, where the same story is recorded, the father said he's sore vexed, greatly troubled. In Luke chapter 9, it talks again about where the story is recorded that he foams at the mouth, and as he falls, he bruises himself, and the spirit hardly ever leaves him alone. This evil spirit that's in him hardly ever leaves him alone. And so this father took the time to notice what was going on in the life of his son. He took the time to notice that his son had a problem. I want to ask you this morning, if this was your son, would you know that he's having a problem? If this was your son, would you know the things that he was into that were causing problems in his life? Sometimes we get so busy with things that we do not take the time to be observant of our children. Sometimes we get so busy even with good things that we do not take the time to know what's going on in our children's life. And again, good things are things that God has given us to do. I mean, it's a good thing that if a dad can work and provide for his family, that's God's plan that he do that. It's a good thing if a man gets busy in church and participates in the church. I mean, it's God's plan for men to lead the local New Testament church. That's a good thing. We get busy with our houses and our homes, and that's a good thing because dad ought to take care of the houses and the homes. We get busy with our hobbies, and again, that's a good thing because God expects us to figure out how to relax and how to good time. But if we're not careful, we get so busy with the good things of life that we fail to notice, we fail to be observant, and we fail to know what's going on in our children's lives. Now, dads, you need to do it. I need to do it. I don't care if your children are still little. I don't care if you're still carrying them in your arms, or if they're 30 years old. You're their dad. You need to be observant of what's going on in their life. I knew a father one time, had one daughter and one son. And he was so busy doing all sorts of good things. A good man. I mean, his life was devoted to God. His life was devoted to the things of God. And one morning, his daughter came to him and said, "Dad, you need to take me to the hospital." He said, "Why?" She said, "I'm having a baby." And the first time that this dad noticed that his unwed daughter was pregnant. This true story, I'm not making this up. True story. First time that this dad knew that his unwed mother, her one unwed daughter, was about to become a mother. When she came to him in the morning and said, "Dad, I need to go to the hospital." You say, "Oh, that could never happen to me. Never happen to me." We need to make sure it doesn't. We need to make sure that we take the time. And by the way, if you don't take the time to be with your children, you won't be observant of what's going on in their life. And you won't take the time, especially if you're busy, unless you schedule it. Unless you put it in your calendar and say, "This time is sacred. This is time I've set aside to spend with my children," and keep to that schedule. You won't do it unless you schedule it. I read a story about a farmer that was at a county fair, and he had a beautifully proportioned hog. And that hog won a blue ribbon. I mean, just a beautiful, if there's such a thing as a beautiful hog, this was a beautiful hog. But over at the side of the pen was standing a skinny kid that was smoking and cussing. And that was the hog owner's son. He spent more time with his hog than he did with his son. Not the way it ought to be. We need to be observant of our children. Number two, he loved his son and let it show. Say, "Brother Darrell, how can you tell from this story that this father loved his son?" I can tell he loved his son by the way he came to Jesus and by what he did when he got to Jesus. In Matthew, the Bible says he knelt down to Jesus saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son." In Mark, he said, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." In Luke, the Bible says he cried out saying, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child." And I picture a dad that knew what was going on in the life of his son and loved him so much that he did not care what other people thought about him. He did not care that other people might see him as he came running to Jesus, kneeling down, crying out with tears, and saying, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son. He's my only son. He is sick and he needs help." Crying out with tears. Now, we expect moms to do that. I mean, that's what moms are supposed to do. They're supposed to be the soft, emotional ones. But dads, hey, you know, everybody knows that a man's not supposed to cry. I mean, I'm being a little facetious now. I'll get to my point in a minute. But everybody knows a man's not supposed to cry. We're supposed to be the tough guys. We're supposed to be the macho guys. I mean, you know, we might say, "I love you" every once in a while, but we sure don't want to have people see us cry. I mean, if something touches us and we start to cry, you know, we'll turn our head so nobody can see us, or we'll swallow that lump in our throat and go and cough so that nobody knows, you know, we'll quickly rub our sleeve across our eyes. We don't want anybody to see us cry. But here's a dad that said, "I don't care. I want everybody to know I love my son. And if I have to come to the master with tears in my eyes, so be it. You can think what you want to think of me, but I want everybody to know I love my son." And dads, that's what it ought to be with us. It ought to be not only with our sons, but with our daughters. We ought to take the time with tears sometimes. And by the way, you ought to love your kids enough that sometimes it brings tears to your eyes. You ought to love your kids enough sometimes you can't help but crying as you thank God for giving you your children. And you ought to take the time to tell them that you love them. And I know many of you would say this morning, "Well, I tell them that I love them every day. I give them a place to live. I give them food to eat. I put clothes on their bath. I told them I love them every now and then. They ought to know that I love them because of what I do for them," and all those things you ought to do for them. But you need to tell them that you love them. Listen. It's good that you provide those things like a place to live and food to eat and clothes to wear. But many children would be a lot happier if they had less house, less possessions, and they had a daddy that spent time with them. Many children would be a lot happier if they had fewer toys and they had a daddy that took the time to make them or let them know that they were important to him. And many children would be a lot happier if they had a dad that often would just say, "I love you. I love you." There's kids in the nursery that need that. There's kids back there in the fellowship hall that need that. There are children sitting in this auditorium. And when I say children, if you're a child, I'm including you. They're 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years old that still like to hear dad say, "You're important to me and I love you." And this dad didn't care if other people saw him cry. He loved his son. So he was observant. He loved him and he let that love show. Number three. He was willing to admit that he needed help. His boy had a problem. Dad could have said, "Well, I'll take care of it myself. When the Spirit throws him into the fire, I'll go pull him out of the fire. When the Spirit throws him into the water, I'll go pull him out of the water. When he convulses, I'll go grab a hold on of him and hang on to him and help him get through that convulsion." But this was a father that was a wise father, because he said, and he wasn't a father that let pride get in his way of going to somebody else and asking for help for his son. He said, "I can't help my son. I mean, I can hold him and I can pull him out of the fire and I can pull him out of the water, but I need more help than that. I'm going to go to somebody that I can help, that can help me. I'm going to go to Jesus." And so many times today, there are fathers that need help with their children, but are so proud that they won't go seek that help. Look, if your child needs help, you first of all go to God. And you hold that child up in prayer. And you beg God, just like this dad did, for your son or for your daughter. Because he's the one that they belong to. He's the one that has loaned them to us. And if they need help, he's the one that can provide the help. But quickly, let me say, God has put other people in our life that can be a help to us as well. There are other dads that are going that have gone through what you're going through now. There are other moms that have experienced what you've experienced now. And and God has put them in your life. God has put them in your sphere of friends and your sphere of acquaintances so that he can use them to be a help to you. Don't let pride stand in the way. And I know this is I know there are ladies that are proud, but I know more men that let pride get in the way of asking help. I mean, we don't even want to ask for directions. Huh? We'd rather drive around for 8 hours and try to figure out where we are on our own as opposed to say, well, I don't know where I am. I need somebody to help me. Listen, that may be okay if you're that stubborn and want to get lost and spend some time, but don't be that prideful when it comes to your children. God has put other people in your life. And by the way, you ought to go to Christian friends, Christian acquaintances, Christian family, and say, I need some help. What did you do? What did you do? So he was willing to, he needed help. Number four, he was a man of faith. Not only did he believe in Christ, but he believed Christ was the answer to his problem. I don't know if he'd seen Jesus heal the sick before or not. I don't know if he'd seen Jesus cast out devils before or not. I don't know if he saw any of those things that Jesus did. And that's not important. What is important is this man heard about Christ. This man believed that Jesus could help his son. And so he came with his son to Jesus. And he said, Master, I've tried everything else. I've taken it to all the doctors. I've given him all the medicine that's available today. There is nothing else that can help him. I believe that you can. And so I have brought unto you my son. And I'm depending on you to help him. You know what America needs today? We don't need our economy fixed. We need men that believe God is God and that God can still work, and men that will bring their children to Christ. We don't need in our country today a better education system. I'm all for education, and I think children ought to get all the education they can. But we'd be a lot better off with fathers that would say, there is a God in heaven. He does answer prayer. He can help me with my children, and I'm going to bring my children to him. Amen. Douglas MacArthur said, I don't want to be remembered as the great general who led the armies and liberated the people. Rather, I want to be remembered as the Christian father who read the Bible and had family prayers. I read a story about an evangelist, a preacher. And he was standing by a window, and there was a group of boys down underneath the window that he could hear talking. And they were into that routine that, you know, where my dad's better than your dad. And one little boy says, well, my dad knows the mayor. And the second little boy said, well, that's nothing. My dad knows the governor. And the third little boy started to talk, and the preacher realized it was his son. And his son said, that ain't nothing. My dad knows God. And the preacher turned, went back, and got on his knees beside his bed and said, dear God, help me always be a dad that my boy can say, my dad knows God. He was a man of faith. And by the way, every father ought to be that. Every father ought to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every father, if not for your sake, for your children's sake. If not for your sake, for your grandchildren's sake. You may not believe there's a heaven and a hell. You may not believe that you're a sinner. You may not believe that there's a penalty for that sin. You may not believe that Jesus paid the price for that sin. I want to tell you something this morning. It's all true. Every single one of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, spiritual death, separation from God. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he offers to every single person and to every single dad that salvation. And I beg you this morning, if you don't do it for yourself, do it for your kids. Do it for your children. They need a dad that knows there's a God. They need a dad that knows that God still works. They need a dad that when their children need somebody to go to God on their behalf, knows how to go and knows how to get a hold of God. He was a man of faith. And then number five, he was a man of good sense. He didn't send his son to Jesus. He brought him. He brought him. He didn't drive his boy to the foot of that mountain and said, "Hey, son, get out. There's somebody here that can help you. Go find him." He didn't say to his wife, "Hey, you're his mother. You take him to find Jesus." He didn't say to his next-door neighbor or to his friend, "Hey, you know my son. Can you take him to Jesus for me?" He said, "Nope, I'm going to take him myself. We're going to find Jesus. I'm going to find this one that can help him." I'll say to all the fathers, the responsibility for your children does not belong to your wife. She shares in that responsibility, but you are the dad. You have the responsibility for your children. The responsibility for your children does not belong to the school that they go to, even though it may be a Christian school. It does not belong to the school. It does not belong to the church. We will do our best to help. And we will teach your children about the Bible, and we will help you tell them about Jesus. But they are not our prime responsibility. The prime responsibility, dads, is yours. You picture God in their life. And what they're going to learn about God, they will learn more from you than they will from anybody else. David made the mistake of trying to give the responsibility for his children to his servants and to other people. You remember the story of Absalom. Rose up in revolt against his dad after a series of events that were just terrible. Started with David, just terrible events. And Absalom ended up getting killed. And David cried out, "Oh, my son Absalom, Absalom, my son, would to God that I had died for thee. Would to God I had died for thee." If you have little children and they still listen to you, praise God. You take this time to train them. You take this time to teach them. Because there will come a day when, for a while, they won't listen to you. They will come back, as many of us did, after we got through our teenage years and those years when we thought we knew everything and didn't need dad. They'll come back. But there'll come a time in their life where they won't listen. And you need to get as much as you can into their minds now while they will listen. You say, and I know there's some parents that say, "Well, I want my kids to decide for themselves. I'm not going to try to brainwash them." That's a lie straight from hell. You're their mom and dad. God gave them to you. You can call it brainwashing if you want, but God gave them to you for you to put this book into their minds, to put the love of God into their minds, to put obedience into their minds. I'll just keep on going down the list. Don't apologize to anybody for that. God gave them to you. He entrusted them to you for you to brainwash them and tell them about God. Don't ever shirk that responsibility. Don't ever back away from it. They belong to him. So here was a dad. Here was a dad who brought his son to the Savior. And if you're here this morning as a dad, and you have a son or a daughter that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the thing that ought to weigh heavy on your heart, the thing you ought to spend much time in prayer about, is getting your son or getting your daughter to Jesus Christ. That's going to be more important than how much money you leave them in the will. It's going to be more important than what kind of car that you buy them, if you buy them a car. That's going to be more important than the kind of house that you provide, the kind of clothes they wear. It's more important than anything. Listen to me. It's more important than anything is getting your children to know Jesus as their Savior. And again, it's going to be hard for you to do that unless you know him yourself. Man was walking in the snow, and his little boy was walking behind him. And he looked behind him, and he saw that his little boy was struggling to put his feet down in the prints that Daddy made in the snow. He turned around, and his little boy said, "Daddy, I'm trying to put my steps where you stepped." And the daddy turned and kept walking and thought to himself, "Well, if my little boy is trying to put his steps in my steps, I've got to leave some pretty good steps. I got to leave some pretty good steps." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this father, for the example he provides for us. I pray if there's a dad here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray, Father, today would be the day they would come, admit they're a sinner, understand there's a penalty for that sin, and know that Jesus paid the penalty, and they come this morning, they'd simply ask him to save them. And then I pray, Father, for all the fathers that are Christians that are here. I pray that you would help us to be, regardless of how old our children are, help us to be the kind of dads that you want us to be. Bless this time of invitation. Again, Father, if there's somebody here that needs to ask Jesus to be their Savior, help them to come. If you've spoken to others about things that they need to deal with you about, I pray that you'd help them to come and they would get it straight this morning. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.